Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill, Strengthening India's Manufacturing Ecosystem. The participants are A.K. Bhattacharya, Economic Analyst, and Sonu Sood, Anchor.
The Parliament has passed the Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill 2026. This landmark bill amends the Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007, the Income Tax Act 2025, and the Finance Act 2026. The bill seeks to make India attractive and predictable investment destination and enhance ease of doing business. To discuss the key provisions of this bill, how is it going to give a fillip to the manufacturing ecosystem, the Make in India mission of the country, we have with us economic analyst Mr. A.K. Bhattacharya. Mr. Bhattacharya, warm welcome to you on Akashvani.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Bhattacharya, the bill which has been passed by the Parliament, Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill 2026, if you can give us an overview of how is it going to benefit the business, the economic environment of our country, what, according to you, are the key takeaways?
There are many provisions. The first one that I see is an extension of the thought that had informed both the Reserve Bank of India and the Union Finance Ministry in the wake of the West Asian crisis. With the oil prices going up, the government and RBI jointly decided that it must bolster the balance of payment situation of the country. And in order to do that, the Reserve Bank of India introduced some new schemes for getting FCNRB deposits, etc., etc. But the government also on its part issued an ordinance under which it would be able to exempt some of the foreign institutional investors from the taxes they are paying on when they buy or conduct some sales or resales of Indian government securities. So that was an ordinance in June. Now, with this law, that ordinance has been converted into a piece of legislation, which essentially means that when foreign institutional investors investing in government securities or when they are selling or exchanging or transferring those government securities, neither they have to pay any income tax on the interest they earn, nor will they have to pay any capital gains tax when they sell or exchange or transfer those securities. In other words, the foreign institutional investors was earlier paying income tax on this interest income at the rate of 20%. That has gone off. And when they were doing some transfers, then they were paying a short-term capital gains at the rate of 30% and a long-term capital gains at 12.5%. Now, those capital gains taxes are also gone. So it is expected that FIIs will now be more encouraged to invest in government securities. As you know that right now, the government has allowed a certain portion of its total government securities to for investment by foreign institutional investors.
Yes.
Now, that limit that has been allowed has not been fully utilized.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, with this tax exemption, more FIIs will be encouraged because they don't have to pay any tax on the interest income,
right,
nor on the capital gains on the transaction. So they will come. That's a macroeconomic requirement or a goal and objective of the government behind this piece of legislation.
So, Mr. Bhattacharya, as you're saying, it's expected that this will attract foreign capital in the country. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman spoke in Rajya Sabha on how the bill will enable current data centers to expand their footprints and service through foreign cloud service providers. This will have the impact of large-scale expansion and setting up of hyperscale data centers in India.
Amendment of conditions of provisions providing exemption to a foreign company procuring data services from a specified data center. And this exemption is provided up to the year ending 31st March 2047. Long-term certainty so that investments come. These are big-ticket investments. They have to come with a certainty which can be provided to them. The outcome that I'm expecting is to provide ease of doing business for companies, providing cloud services by way of procuring data center services in India. The amendment is also expected to enable much larger ecosystem, again, of Indian data centers, providing data center services to a foreign company. The reform will enable AI data cities in India and is expected to bring in significant investments for AI data cities in India.
Another provision, while replying to the discussion on the bill in Rajya Sabha yesterday, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman, she referred to it as the most discussed and debated point, which pertains to the merchant discount rate related to the UPI transactions. Can you tell us a little bit more about, the clarification which has come from the government? Because very often there is a lot of confusion or misinterpretation. So if you could just tell us in very clear terms that what is the provision that has been included in the bill? How is it going to benefit the UPI, the digital public infrastructure ecosystem of our country?
Well, this pertains to a law called the Payment and Settlement Assistance Act of 2007. Mm-hmm. Now, under the provision of these law, Unified Payment Interface was introduced by the National Payments Corporation of India, and it has become very popular over the years.
Yes.
Digital payments over Unified Payment Interface has reached a level of almost 9 lakh crore value of transactions in a month. Now, this has become very popular because it is a digital payment. One can make a payment on your mobile phone. You can do a real-time transfer. So much so that many countries have also adopted the Indian UPI system.
Yes.
And the Indian government has helped those countries to adopt it. Now, remember that when you are spending money, which is the National Payment Corporation of India, which is a nodal agency floated by the Reserve Bank of India and the Indian Bank Association, with shareholding owned by many private sector banks and the public sector banks also.
Yes.
Now, when it undertakes these transactions, it incurs a lot of cost because technology is important. The cyber frauds have to be prevented. So it may incurs a lot of cost. So to defray those costs, there is a provision called a merchant discount rate, which either the merchant or the individual or the consumer or the user will have to pay. It's a very small cost. It is around 0.3 or 0.5% of the total transaction. Now, till 2020 January, this transaction for individual to merchant transaction was allowed. But 2020, the government in its wisdom believed that digital payment things should be made more popular. So the government came in with a subsidy element from the union government's budget and said that any transaction, even with merchants, will be free and no MDR will be levied.
Okay.
Now, this led to the huge popularity and increase in its usage. Now, with the demand for technology and the popularity already been achieved in terms of digitization of the payment system, the government believes that little bit of freedom should be given to the National Payments Corporation of India, which operates this UPI scheme, to levy an MDR whenever it chooses. So this law does not impose any levy. This law, which has been passed in Parliament, only allows NPCI to decide on what kind of MDR it needs to levy on what kind of transactions.
Yes.
At the same time, the government has also clarified that this MDR will not be levied on individual-to-individual transactions. And even when it is individual-to-merchants, there will be high threshold levels, whether on the basis of the turnover or on the basis of the transaction. So essentially, no levy, MDR levy, has been imposed right now under this law. What this law has done is given the NPCI through its committee the power to levy an MDR subject to the conditions that it will not be imposed on individual to individual transactions and it will not be subjected to any small time merchants and small transaction, maybe below 2000 rupees transaction or with the merchant, will not be levied in MDR. So I think given the fact that updation of technology is a regular process, given the fact the government will rather do well using that subsidy given to the financial transaction rather than use that money for building infrastructure or investing in education and healthcare.
Yes.
So the government can withdraw its money and promote transactions in a digitally safe and quick settlement system.
Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman, while speaking in the Parliament, clarified that no charge will be levied on individual to individual payment as well as on the small merchants.
Will consumers pay any UPI charge? No. UPI has remained free for consumers since its launch, and every Indian will continue to make instant digital payment without paying a transaction charge. Chai wale ke upar, sabzi wale ke upar, tele wale ke upar, patri wale ke upar MDR charge nahi lagegi. Chote merchants aur kirana stores hamare inclusive financial schemes aur sarkar ke ye bahut bada commitment hai financial inclusion ka. Small merchants remain central to UPI's inclusive growth. Unke upar hum koi MDR lagane wale nahi hai. Any future MDR will apply only to a limited category of merchant transactions above a certain prescribed high threshold.
Mr. Bhattacharya, also we would like you to throw light on the provisions which have been brought in for encouraging Make in India in the electronic sector, which has been a very, very high potential sector in the past decade. So what are the provisions which are going to improve the business environment further and enhance manufacturing in this sector?
It's a very important provision in the law. What used to happen earlier is just that whenever any foreign companies would supply capital goods and tools for contract manufacturing in the electronic sector, say for mobile companies manufacturing mobile phones. Now, those supplies would be attracting the tax. Now, because that is a transaction, you are making some money and the transaction is taking place under the Indian jurisdiction. So now the government has tried to give a boost to such electronics manufacturing in India. And remember that India has done exceedingly well of late in exporting these mobile phones from India and earning valuable foreign exchange for the country.
Yes.
So the government of India wanted to give it a bigger boost. So in that context, what they have done is that any foreign supplier of capital goods and tooling to Indian electronic contract manufacturers from April 1, 2026 till March 2041. Remember, this is a 15-year period.
Yes.
Well, they will enjoy a tax holiday. In other words, they don't have to pay an income tax on the supplies and the money that they make by making those supplies.
Okay.
So this, to my mind, will give a further boost to domestic electronic goods manufacturing here through contract route. Not only will it help us export, it will also help create more jobs in a particular sector, which can help us redeploy some of our agricultural tools to these new sectors. So on the whole, it's a manufacturing sector boost that this tax incentive will give.
Absolutely. And also, there has been a provision to attract global rough diamond trade to India, again to attract foreign capital in manufacturing. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yes, that's another important provision. As you would know that India's gems and jewelry sector is a big foreign exchange earner for the country, but it is actually relying on a huge number and value of import of rough diamonds from various parts of the world, in Africa and in Europe. And it comes to India, particularly in Surat and Gujarat and many other centers. Now, those rough diamonds are processed and then re-exported with value addition. And therefore, the country gains in foreign exchange. Now, what used to happen earlier was that when a foreign company would supply these rough diamonds to Indian manufacturers, they would obviously be taxed.
Right.
Now, what the government has done with this law is that when a foreign company sells those rough diamonds to Indian companies, provided if the supply takes place in a notified special zone.
Yes.
If that takes place, there will be no tax on that supplier. So once again, this will help job opportunities, help promote our exports of gems, and this will apply to foreign companies which are engaged in diamond mining or site holders of such companies, brokers, aggregators. All these agencies will benefit from this provision under the law that was passed by Parliament.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bhattacharya, for this comprehensive discussion on the wide-ranging benefits of the Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill 2026.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill, Strengthening India's Manufacturing Ecosystem. The participants were A.K. Bhattacharya, Economic Analyst, and Sonu Sood, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.